global family.
Blog Talk Radio.
Sister Naima Latif.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And in the yogic tradition, namaste and sat nam. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Bienvenido to my South American friends. Welcome, welcome to my living space. I welcome you in here to join with me every Friday morning to not just roll these joints around and get healthy and better, but to share with you the peace and joy that I'm experiencing in my small space every day and in my journey in life. I am so excited always every Friday to get up and share my experience with you. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And every morning I read from my devotion books for this particular day. And I want to share just a few words from my devotion books that might inspire you, that might nourish you, and that might bless you. So today is November 18th. I think it's an 8 today. Let's see, 11, 18, 1, 2, 3, 8, 9, 10, 11. That's 2. It's an 8 today. If you add up all the dates of 11, 18, 2022, we come to an 8. For 8, 8 reminds me of the infinity symbol sideways, meaning that we are all in this eternal wave of joy, peace, love, and it also represents new beginnings. So maybe today for you is a new beginning in thought, in worship, in praise, and the way you live your life. But in this, on this day, along the path to enlightenment, a little book, devotion book by David, not by David Hawkins, but it's the writings, reflections from David Hawkins. So November 18th, this one line says, the replacement of resentment with peaceful acceptance is its own reward. Let me read that again. The replacement of resentment, I resent this, I resent that, with peaceful acceptance, I accept this, I accept this, is its own reward. there is a progressive alteration in one's view of self and others. When this happens, one's own life story can then be reinterpreted from a more compassionate understanding. Oh, I love that. I love that. It's so healing for me to look at my past mistakes, or not just mistake, choices, to look at my past choices, and instead of resenting what I did and regretting what I did, there's an peaceful acceptance. In other words, a surrender to the past choices as learning lessons, lessons for me to grow. So that itself can be reinterpreted from a more compassionate understanding. Instead of us looking at our past choices as something we did wrong, we can look at our past choices with compassionate understanding and peaceful acceptance. That is, we not necessarily were in sin, but we made choices to help us grow, to help us remember who we are today and have compassionate understanding. So I'm a lot more compassionate with my body self memories these days as I realize how much I beat up on myself over the years for choices I made. So there's peace in surrendering to compassionate overstanding, understanding that the Most High Universe energy gave me all the experiences of my life to help me grow, to learn from them, and to be more loving. I like that better. Surrender and acceptance is a much higher vibration. When we talk about energy, when we are surrendering to compassionate understanding versus resentment and regret for what happened, the vibration in our body goes up, 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 and it's ready to heal us. It's ready to heal. The body is ready to heal us when we go into passionate acceptance and surrender. I love that. For me, it's been a real healing journey even up to now. And then in my other book, The Promise of a New Day, on November 18th and 8th, One is Happy as the Result of One's Own Efforts by George Sand. And this day, it summarizes personal power commands our lives, and the fruits are as bountiful as are our choices. Selectively made, we will be as happy as our choices make us and as we decide to be. Today is all mine, and whatever I make of it is by personal choice. So this kind of goes along with the other reading about replacing resentment with peaceful acceptance, because today is the day we make different choices, so we don't have resentment after resentment after resentment. So today is all mine, and whatever I make of it is by personal choice. So I'm choosing today to let go of past regrets, let go of past resentments. I am a new, renewed person, choosing today to love my life, to love me even more, and to move forward in power and in joy and in peace. So let us do some joint rolling as our first choice this morning to wake up our body and to lubricate these mechanisms we have called arms and legs and so forth. And let us start by breathing. I woke up this morning feeling so off balance, and I was so deep into a dream. I'm not even sure what the dream was about at this point. But I was so deep into this dream, it was like I was halfway into a dream and halfway into getting up out of bed. I'm like, oh my goodness, I was kind of feeling like I was off balance. So what do we need to do when we feel like that? We need to breathe in this moment. Get into our worship of the breath. Breathing in deeply, breathing in deeply, holding it. And exhaling any negativity, any thoughts of resentment or regrets. breathing in the today moment of joy, peace, love, compassion, compassionate understanding and overstanding, exhaling all past regrets, all fears, worries, doubts, inhaling the power of this moment to make different choices, and exhaling all the past regrets. Hallelujah. And so we start off this day refreshed, renewed, and we're going to start off again with joint rolling. Time for healing by the Sounds of Blackness. I have permission to play their music. Hallelujah. No copyright infringements or any of that. But we want to start off this morning with time for healing. And we're going to roll our neck around, roll this head around, and lubricate the neck first and foremost. Get this neck rolling. And I'm going to turn my heater down because it's just kind of noisy. And I don't want any noise in our background. So we're going to be starting, for those of you in the Blog Talk studio, if you can't see me, we're going to roll our neck around first, our head around first in both directions. Then we're going to roll these shoulders backward and then forward. Then we're going to do some swimming in the sea of energy, forward and backstroke. And after that, we get on our backs, kick up our legs and our arms, roll these joints, our wrist joints with our ankle joints, both directions. And then we roll our knee joints. We get our knee joints lubricated by rolling our lower leg around one each direction. And then we get on our, and then we go to our elbows after the knee joints. Then we get on our side and roll that leg around so we can get our hip joints lubricated and be ready to sit and enjoy all that the Most High Creator universe has for us to learn today. Because we're talking about recognizing adverse advertising. And there's one in particular we're going to start with that is killing our youth. Yes, we're going to start with some history about an advertising that's killing our youth. The death of young people, the rate of death for young people went up because of this advertising that is seen everywhere. So we're going to get into that today and after our joint rolling. So let's do some neck rolling first to the sound.
Nation. of a foolish pride. But pain is a sickness that is hard to cover, and it's the reason we mistreat each other, yeah.
Out like a tree. Your vagus nerve is like your tree trunk, and it has all this energy, Wi-Fi systems, nervous systems running everywhere. So we're going to stimulate it so that our legs and arms and all those parts of us can wake up, place those hands on the back of the neck, squeeze and release. And you should feel that all the way to your toes. Runs all the way. You can feel the energy running all the way down your leg. Breathe in, let go. Breathe in, exhale. Squeeze that vagus nerve. Squeeze that neck. Squeeze, release, squeeze and release, squeeze and release. Breathe in. And let's just go all the way down. Squeeze the shoulder, the arms. Squeeze, loving on the arms. patting the shoulder, go around the breast, give them a little love. Go back to your kidney area, love on pat, give your kidneys and adrenal glands a pat, a good pat. We've got a lot of people on dialysis these days, and we just need to love these kidneys more, treat them with more love. And then just pat on the thighs, give the thighs a good patting all the way down to the toes. And we have done a fly movement, first loving ourselves this morning. Thank you for joining me for this time of love for the body. So let us go. I'm going to move back to my studio now, and let us get busy with today's show. I got my dad in the studio with me today. He's number 25 on the poster. Hi, Dad. He's always with me. He left this planet, Earth. His physical body died, but his spirit is much alive. Thank you. Sherman J. Howard, Football and Beyond. That's the book he and I wrote together. So we want to talk about today advertising, adverse advertising in your health quest. There's so much out there. It was brought to my attention recently how our young people are dying. That song we just heard, Time for Healing, says, children are dying. It's time to take a stand. Well, children are dying from guess what? This article brings out the fact that children are dying from alcohol. Yes. They're out there drinking all this damn alcohol. And so alcohol deaths in youth, deaths attributed to excessive alcohol consumption in the U.S. are trending upward. Between 2015 and 2019, 1 in 5 deaths, that's 20% in the 20 to 49-year age group, was related to excessive alcohol intake. And that says a lot about the liver becoming so weak from the excessive alcohol and a lack of nutrition and just a lack of care. So the percentage of men dying from excess alcohol consumption, 15%, was higher than that of women, but both are on the rise. Common types of alcohol-related deaths include alcohol poisoning, motor vehicle accidents, suicides, falls, and alcohol-related liver disease or pancreas failure. Other data from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggests the rate of deaths directly attributed to alcohol rose by more than 25% in 2020, the first year of the plandemic, when many were self-isolating and working from home. The trend continued in 2021, by then up 34% from pre-pandemic levels. Researchers have established a clear link between isolation, loneliness, and alcohol abuse and addiction. So clearly, health officials did not have public health in mind when they declared liquor stores to be an essential business during the pandemic. I remember that period. But churches, gyms, even parks and beaches were shut down. That's why I didn't even vote this year. It's like these people are psychopathic. 2 alcoholic drinks per day or less for men and 1 drink or less for women is considered moderate consumption. Binge drinking is defined as having 5 or more alcoholic drinks on a single occasion for men or 4 or more for women. A drink is defined as having A drink is defined as 12 ounces of beer, 5 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of alcohol. So the true statement, our children are dying, and it's time to take a stand. So I'm taking a stand today by educating us. I've got a very interesting clip I came across on YouTube with Joe Rogan interviewing a guy who gave a whole history of alcohol. I think we need to review this every now and then because the advertising is so strong, especially in movies. Everybody's drinking, everybody's smoking, at least in the past, the movies were all about smoking cigarettes and drinking. Now it's just about drinking. And our young people, I am just amazed at all of the videos I watch or movies that I watch or programs that, where young people are just drinking it up, having a good old time. So I want to share alcohol, a brief history. We need the reminder, because we have just taken this alcohol drinking for granted, that it's okay. My grandfather did not allow any alcohol in his home whatsoever. We would go to visit him in southern Illinois. He was a pastor. So, of course, he was a strict pastor, sanctified Church of God in Christ pastor. And when we went to his house, there was no drinking. There was no bubble gum. There was no Motown music. Very strict energy, very strict rules in his household. And we went to church all the time. We had fun. I have to admit, that was such a fun time, even with all the restrictions. Then we'd come back to Chicago, and it was alcohol on the corners. My mother was an alcoholic. So we have moved, the pendulum has moved too far again to one side, where we're taking this alcohol so casually. And especially with the holidays coming up, I think it's important that we remind ourselves of the history of this beverage, these beverages. So this history is a little bit over 10 minutes, I think. So let me take our commercial break first. And then we're going to come back and listen to a really interesting history of alcohol. It was a lot in this discussion that I was totally unaware of. I know I've had a history of alcohol abuse in my college years, teen years, young years, all into my 30s and 40s. And then I see the same repeating bad behavior, a wrong, unhealthy behavior in my sons. So it's time for us to be reminded of our children are dying because of alcohol abuse. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I'm going to share with you a little history about alcohol that maybe you weren't aware of, and maybe you can share this with some of the youth in your life and remind them of the dangers and the risk involved in taking even that first drink. So let me take a commercial break, and then we'll come back with some information on history of alcohol.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
And create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more. With a simple blood test and food plan, Susan Essentials will help your business, your family, and you eliminate toxins and create a step-by-step plan to nourish your mind, body, and spirit. Click here to learn more.
Decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
In to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
To Health and Wellbeing with Viada. Today, we want to recognize the adverse advertising that goes against your health quest, your quest to take charge of your health. And one of the things that was brought to my attention was alcohol abuse by our youth. Our youth are dying, actually, and the numbers are up. So as the song says, our youth are dying, it's time to take a stand. And the only way I see we can take a stand is to educate, 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 and then let them choose their path that they want on this journey on Mother Earth where so much abuse is going on. So I came across this very interesting discussion with Joe Rogan and his guest talking about the history of alcohol. And I learned a lot about this history that we have forgotten. And so with the powers to be the way they are, this election, I didn't vote at all. I wasn't even motivated in the least to go in a little booth and because it's so corrupt. Even in Arizona, they had a woman, Lake was her name, running a strong anti-war campaign. And they're still trying to count the votes because there are a lot of strange things went on. So I just feel like we have to take charge of our health and take charge of our political life ourselves and get out of government involved. Government is corrupt and psychopathic in my opinion. So we got to break down the whole system. So here's some information that hopefully will help us help our youth take a stand with our youth. I'm more concerned about the youth coming up healthy than voting for these corrupt politicians. So here, let's listen to a little history about
the Joe Rogan Experience.
Feel like we should have a drink.
I think we would be remiss.
We have to.
I think we're professionally obligated to drink. Yeah.
I don't know. That's nice.
We're doing
drink.
A podcast about drinking.
Yeah.
It makes sense. We should have at least a small.
So historically, there's been a safety feature built into alcohol. So for most, we've been drinking. Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers, yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's nice.
I'll start your Monday morning.
I'll start your Monday. There's a way to start a Monday morning. Yeah.
So
this stuff is new. So having
really?
Alcohol that's this strong is something we've only had for a couple hundred years.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of people don't realize that. So for most of our history, we've been drinking like 2 to 3% beers.
2 to 3%.
Yeah. Historically, that's typically what beers came in at. Grape wines, you could get up to like 8 to 10. But there's a built-in limit to natural fermentation. So the yeast are turning sugars into alcohol, which is a poison. So the yeast are slowly poisoning themselves, basically. And we've bred these super hardy yeasts. So, like, nowadays you can get an Australian Syrah up to, like, 16% ABV.
Wow.
Which is high, historically really unprecedented. But
that's crazy.
That's as high as you can get because then the alcohol shuts down the yeast. But a way around that is distillation. So you take that wine, you heat it up. Ethanol is really volatile, so that comes off first. And if you could figure out how to capture that vapor and turn it back into a liquid, you've got this. You've got really concentrated alcohol.
Do they do that with wine?
They do it with wine, or they'll take something that's naturally fermented, so a weak beer or a wine, and then they distill it.
And what do they call that when they get it on the other end?
Distilled liquor. That's what liquor is.
Oh, okay. So it's just a kind of liquor?
Yeah. So liquor or spirits refers to something that's been distilled. So
right.
you've basically extracted the alcohol out of the mixture and made it into a pure form. And once you do that, you've got like 90, you can get like some vodkas could be like 90-something percent ABV. So that's crazy strong. It's just really, we're not equipped to, what you're talking about, you know, this, it needs to be modulated. It was always modulated historically by the fact that we were drinking beers that weren't very strong. So there's going to be just volume limit to how much you can consume. It's also modulated by social stuff. So we're drinking typically, historically, in a communal situation where there's really clear ritual restrictions on drinking. So you only drink when someone makes a toast. You're modulating your drinking with other people. And even, you know, you think about just even in a pub, you don't just drink as much as you want. You order rounds.
Right.
And if you down your beer real fast, you got to wait until everyone else is ready to order another round. So we socially regulate our drinking, and then it's been regulated by its inherent weakness, if you want to think of it that way. But then all of a sudden you get this kind of stuff. You get really strong liquors, and you can have that in your house. That's when alcohol gets really dangerous.
And it's only been the last couple hundred years.
Yeah, distilled liquors weren't, because the concept's really simple. Aristotle described distillation. But technologically, it's really hard to do because you have to have metallurgy. You need to be able to heat liquids and keep them at a certain temperature.
That makes sense.
They're pressurized. It's actually kind of dangerous. So in Prohibition, when people created stills at home, it was like early 20th century version of meth labs. You know, they were constantly exploding, and people were like getting scalded with hot liquid because it's dangerous. So it's hard to do. So we only mastered it. I'm telling an evolutionary story. So my story begins 10 million years ago with primate ancestors who adapted to alcohol. And just so 10 million years ago, about 20,000 years ago to 13,000 years ago, we start making alcohol seriously, not just relying on fruit lying around that has some alcohol in it. And then distillation happens probably around 1300s in China and 1600s in Europe. So that sounds like a long time ago, but really evolutionarily it's yesterday. We really haven't had time culturally or genetically to adapt to access to this kind of alcohol.
And a long time ago when people were drinking beer and drinking wine in particular, like a lot of what they were doing, like if they were carrying it around with them, they would carry beer or wine when they were going on trips because it didn't go bad the way water would, right?
Beer, unhopped beer, goes bad pretty quickly.
A couple days.
Yeah. There's a theory that beer might have been useful in some cultures because fermenting water purifies the water.
So if you've got bad water from a pond or something like that, and then you ferment it and make beer out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You drink it.
So that's one of the stories. I mean, the purpose of my book is to try to explain the puzzle of why we do this. Why do we put poisons into our body? Why do we like to drink? And it's mysterious because it's really costly. It's damaging physiologically. It's got all these potential social problems. And yet we've been doing it forever. We've been making and drinking alcohol for just about as long as we've been doing anything in an organized fashion. In fact, it's looking likely that we were doing this before agriculture, and that it's possible that the desire to make beer and wine is what motivated agriculture. So hunter-gatherers were making beer before they had agriculture.
Really?
Yeah. And
they're making clay pots and.
Yeah, there's they're pounding the stuff, they're malting it to up the sugar content. I think that's the effect of that, and then they're fermenting it. And so we have these sites like in what's present-day Turkey, the site called Göbekli Tepe, is this really cool ritual site. It's these huge stone. Yeah. Have you seen pictures of it?
Yeah, I'm super familiar with it because of Graham Hancock, who's been on my podcast multiple times.
Okay.
Obsessed with ancient civilizations, and that is sort of the Rosetta Stone of ancient civilizations because it's at least 12,000 years old, and
yeah.
The thought process was at that point in time no one could build the kind of structures that those people built. So when they did it, it sort of it lent credence to some of his theories that civilization has gone through multiple periods of ascension and then resets. Usually through catastrophic disasters like asteroid impacts. So his theory, it's not really just his theory. It's the Younger Dryas impact theory.
Okay.
And the Younger Dryas impact theory, it's pointing to the end of the Ice Age, which coincides with real proof of impacts on Earth in the sense of they take soil samples,
mm-hmm.
and when they go down to the same amount of time where the Ice Age ended, they find what this stuff called, it's called nuclear glass or tritonite. And this stuff, it occurs at blast sites where they test nuclear weapons, but it also occurs at asteroid impact sites.
Okay.
And they find it all over the place at around 12,000-ish years ago. And so this theory is that at the end of the Ice Age, what had happened was we passed through an area in our solar system that is rich with comets, and then we were hit, and that it literally restarted civilization, killed off a massive amount of people, stopped civilization dead in its tracks, and then there's a period of rebuilding.
So it's Göbekli Tepe, is a rebuilding.
No, they don't know, right? It's all speculation because Göbekli Tepe was for sure covered on purpose somewhere around 12,000 years ago.
Yeah.
But that doesn't indicate how long ago before then it was built.
Right.
But what they do know is it was made with some pretty sophisticated methods because a lot of the carvings were three-dimensional. Instead of carved into the stone around it was carved away
right.
to leave. And there's also, like, animals in it that aren't even supposed to be from that part of the world.
Okay. So
they find that pretty fascinating.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool shit to it. And it's huge. You know, they've
it's
only
huge.
Uncovered, I think, like 10% of it so far.
It's a cool site. So the role it plays in my story is that they're hunter-gatherers, the people who built this place.
They used to think that, but they're not necessarily sure of that. This is the theory that Graham Hancock is proposing.
All right.
He believes that civilization predates
that. So they were like,
they
had full-on agriculture, and they were...
This is just completely theoretical,
right?
Because and very disputed.
Okay.
Because you're dealing with, you know, it's like so long ago. It's hard. Like, what evidence is there? This was always the evidence against something like Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah.
Where's the evidence of sophisticated structures 12,000 years ago?
Yeah.
And then finally they found Göbekli Tepe. So now they're like, okay, well, now we have evidence of sophisticated structures 12,000 years ago, which should have been built, according to our timeline, by hunter-gatherers. But they're resisting that, and they're thinking this Younger Dryas impact theory may indicate that there was something that happened that, you know, if you look at Egypt, there's clearly more than one era of building styles.
Mm-hmm.
There's like an old kingdom style, and a lot of the old stuff is like deep under the sand when they're finding it. And it's their position that a lot of this stuff is thousands of years older than the pyramids.
Okay. So my understanding of the site is that
it's a hunter-gatherer.
It was hunter-gatherers.
Yeah.
There's no grain storage locations. They were clearly gathering. They were coming from all over, and they were gathering at this site to build. So they were working to, you know, erect these pillars and stuff. And they were having blowout feasts. So they have all these remnants of feasting.
Mm-hmm.
And they have these big vats that almost certainly contained beer and possibly hallucinogen-laced beer. So a lot of early
people. So these hunter-gatherers, they weren't growing the hops or whatever they made the beer out of. They were just finding it wild?
They're making it out of wild grains. But the argument – so the standard story about alcohol is we invent agriculture. Then sometime after that, we note that, you know, someone leaves their sourdough starter out too long and it starts to turn into beer and they're like, oh, this actually tastes all right. That's the standard story. So we had agriculture and then we get alcohol. Around the 1950s or so, some archaeologists started to argue, you know, sites like this one and other sites around the world suggest that hunter-gatherers were gathering and making alcohol before agriculture. And so this is the beer before bread hypothesis.
That's crazy.
Is that what motivated people to settle down and start focusing on making these grains more productive was they wanted to get high, not because they wanted to make bread. And it jives. You see the same pattern in other parts of the world. So in South America, they make this beer-like substance, chicha, out of – now they make it out of maize, out of corn. But they used to make it out of the ancient, the wild ancestor of corn is called teosinte. And what's interesting is teosinte sucks for making grain. Like if your goal was to make tortillas, you wouldn't even notice this plant because the grains don't make very good grain products to eat. But it makes great beer. It's really good for making chicha. So this plant, if these early people were looking for something to make food with, they would overlook this plant. But if they were looking for something to make beer with, they would focus on it, cultivate it, start making it produce bigger grains,
that
and that's how
wild.
You would get corn.
That's like, what was the, do we know what the original thing that they got high with was? Do
well,
we have like the you know, the first, the atom?
Yeah, I mean, certainly we were getting a little bit drunk on just naturally fermenting fruit. So, you know, if fruit falls on the ground, it starts to rot. What the rotting is some of it's being turned into alcohol by yeast. And so it's easy to discover alcohol because it's happening naturally in our environment all the time. The earliest evidence of deliberately produced alcohol is from about 13,000 years ago, so a little bit before Göbekli Tepe. And this is in modern-day Israel. They have traces of beer production, so people were clearly fermenting beer.
Catch new episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience for...
You know, what do you think about that history? It's just fascinating to me how people have been getting high and probably a little inebriated on food, on grains, and the natural process of fruit fermenting produced alcohol. So we have today all kinds of alcohol that man has developed. If you go in a liquor store, our Publix grocery store usually has a liquor store right next door. And I went in there one time to get some little bottles of vodka so I could make essential oils, because that's what people use to distill and make oils from, like rose petals and all that. And I just looked around and thought, wow, we've come a long way, baby, on the variety of alcohol products, and now we're at almost a crisis where our youth are freely taking advantage of all the choices to get drunk, basically. And I mean drunk, because you see, if you ever go to the mall or go out at night, you see kids all over the place, obviously excessively indulging in alcohol. And I think every person, every baby boomer pretty much that I know had parents or grandparents who were always getting drunk on alcohol. So we're kind of at a point now where paying attention to the history, just as I thought that was fascinating how far back the fermentation process goes to put that substance in our body to do what? What was the purpose of it? To numb the pain, for one, I think it would be a great idea to have alcohol in hospice rooms now. Just forget the morphine. Just have some alcohol. You got enough alcohol that could put somebody in a coma if they're in hospice, instead of creating more drugs. And that's my next topic for advertising, adverse advertising, is the amount of drugs that now have come out of. Not just alcohol wasn't enough, you know, in the ancient days. That's what people were using, is alcohol, fermented products, right? What is your thought? I would love to know your thoughts on alcohol use in your own family, alcohol use today. How do you feel about it? Because our children are dying from it. And if we don't think about this sometime and maybe try and educate our children, and I'm sure they haven't don't have a clue about this history. Maybe you could share this with some of the youth in your life about the history. And the word spirit comes to mind. Meth labs comes to mind. Poison? How about poison? We're poisoning our liver by excessive amounts of alcohol. Now, I had a glass of wine last Saturday. I haven't had alcohol in a while, but we were gathering for dinner on last Saturday for my son's 42nd birthday. And I wanted to just relax and give a toast to all the people who had gathered there in honor of my son's 42nd birthday. So I toasted my ex-husband for being a great labor coach 42 years ago. I toasted his brother for being a great brother. I toasted his girlfriend and her parents being there, driving an hour away to come. And I toasted two of his friends, and I even toasted my grandchildren for choosing this family so that we can grow with them. I had in mind, in my before I even got there, I want to make a toast to everybody who shows up. So I had a glass of red wine, and I'm done for a while. That red wine didn't settle with me real well. So I'm done. It felt good in the moment, but the next day I said, ugh, I don't feel as great as, and I didn't have as much energy. So for me, it was the easy choice to, no more alcohol for a while. I'm done unless I need to relax and have another. Now, my youngest son has a birthday in December, so we usually have another party. And then during the holidays, I'm not into alcohol at all because it brings memories of my mother's addiction to that substance that destroyed her liver and put her into cancer mode and then early death at the age of 66. So what are you thinking about the advertising for alcohol as if it's safe and effective? How about that? Safe and effective. We could put alcohol in the same category as those jabs that people have been getting. Safe and effective, right? Alcohol is safe. Have a drink. It's effective to relax you, make you feel better, take away some of the pain, blah, 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 blah. And the advertising goes on and on. And once you've experienced, you realize how valuable alcohol can be in your life to help you relax. And yet our youth are dying from it in big numbers. The percentage is up. That's my concern for this. So that's the number one adverse advertising that I wanted to share with you. Now, the next number one is advertising is boosty. It's the boosting season. And I have an article about Israel. What happened in Israel about the boosting? By the end of January 2022, 6.1 million Israelis had received two doses of the COVID shot. So that number, two-thirds, or about 4.4 million had received three doses. Yet, at the high vax rates, the country experienced what they call an, quote, unprecedented number of COVID infections. Woo, what about that as advertising? It's safe and effective, just like alcohol, the COVID shot, safe. This is what we've got to be aware of, in my opinion. This triggered another vax campaign. You're advertising. Don't let the fact that they had unprecedented numbers of COVID infections bother you or stop the advertising. No, they had another vax campaign to put a fourth shot into citizens' arms. What scientists have learned now is that overall, the presumed vax-related immunity to SARS-CoV-2 has only a negligible long-term 70-day effect on transmissibility of the virus. So is the risk of all the reported adverse events worth such a short period of presumed protection, according to the researchers? Now, here's the quote. The demonstrated short-lived immunity and rapid waning on one hand, combined with the limited impact on population on the other, may focus the need for boosters for high-risk groups only, with immediate impact on vaccine campaigns and public health measures upon disease resurgence. Now, that's just gobbledygook advertising. That don't forget, there's high-risk groups out there, and they may need more boosters. And then the news media goes on to say, I love this, main go-to source when they want to talk or push vaccines is Dr. Paul Offit. Dr. Paul Offit is like the originator of vaccines and a creator. He has a long history of pushing vaccines and pushing boosters and all that. Now, he's an attending physician at the Division of Infectious Disease at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and has jumped off the COVID booster bandwagon and is refusing to get any more of the shots. What? The man who created the stuff, the man who pushed the stuff from 150 years ago, he's getting off the bandwagon? He not only disagrees with the current administration's booster recommendations, but says the FDA, CDC, and President Biden haven't presented enough evidence that any protection the boosters might give would be significantly greater than not getting boosted. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Offit thinks the shots are, quote, grossly oversold. They're grossly oversold. What does that mean? That means all this advertisement about safe and effective is BS. That's basically what I interpret that to mean by none other than Paul Offit. Just Google Paul Offit, O-F-F-I-T. I've been studying about this guy for about 15, 20 years, since I first started studying about the number of children who were damaged from just the childhood jabs. And this guy's name was always coming up, Dr. Paul Offit. Vaccines are safe and effective. So he's like the number one promoter of jabs. And now he's saying, I think they're going to grossly oversold. Okay, we got to pay attention to you, Mr. Dr. Paulie Offit. So, and then we have this insanity. So we're going to have one more news item here. Before we go to the break, if you have any questions or comments, press 1. But this kind of tops it off. And this is one of the reasons I didn't want to vote. It's like, bunch of psychopaths. I don't care. Democrat, Republican, they all are pushing drugs and bombs and crazy law legislation that is not helping us. We, the people, need to bring our own solutions and give the government a goodbye wave and get them out of here, dismantle the whole thing, Washington, D.C. And here's one of the reasons why. The U.S. Senate voted to end COVID emergency. That means all this hype about we got to have jabs because of this virus. We got emergency legislation that says everybody needs a jab to save them from the, quote, virus. And guess what Biden says? He says he'll veto if the House passes. If the Senate ends all this COVID BS, Biden is going to veto it. Okay, so why would that? They voted November 15th, the Senate, that's one side of the bird, the other side of the bird, doesn't matter, they're all crazy, to terminate COVID-19 national emergency. We've been under national emergency for the last 2 years for this virus, deadly virus. And now, and that means those all the jabs that were created were not even fully tested. That's why people have been dying from them. So the Senate, one part of the crazy psychopath group, voted to terminate that was first declared during the Trump administration, has been extended repeatedly during the Biden. So Biden just keeps the ball of confusion and lies and deception rolling throughout his administration. Then they passed a measure, 62-36, bipartisan vote to end the emergency, which was initially declared March 13, 2020. 13 Democrats sided with, it's like a drama show, a reality show. 13 Democrats sided with Republicans, approved the resolution, while all the, quote, no votes were from the Democrats. No. all the no votes, Democrats said, no, we got to keep this emergency pharma money flow going. That's basically what's happening. Anybody who voted no to not end this BS is saying, I got too much money in my pocket from Big Pharma. And that's it. No votes. Senators Ben Massassi, Raphael Warnock didn't vote. Okay. Quote, now here's the juicy part of the drama. It has now been more than 2.5 years since this first issued proclamation declaring the national emergency concerning declaration, and it's been extended twice by Let's Go Brandon president since the initial declaration, most recently February. So Senator Roger Marshall, a Republican of Kansas, sponsored the resolution. It is with this national emergency declaration in tandem with other additional powers currently invoked by the president, which this administration is manipulating to supersize government powers. Now it's obvious they need these powers to continue their spending spree to enact their radical partisan agenda, blah, 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 blah. Here's the evidence shows the emergency phase of the pandemic has come and gone. And I think that's pretty obvious with most of us who have gone on to live our lives normally, building our immune systems, which we're going to talk about. What we need to boost is our immune system. And so the emergency phase says this evidence is clear. It's over. The number of new COVID-19 hospital admissions being near a record low. People are not getting COVID. The number of people with natural immunity or post-infection protection is rising. So one senator voted against the measure because he said it would harm the federal government's ability to deal with the pandemic. Oh my goodness, here's the insanity that comes in. I love this drama. Emergency enables the administration to pay for COVID-19 vaccines and other products from Big Pharma, right? This is who's paid. These are the lobbyists running our country, our government. The third time the Senate has approved the measure, Democrat-controlled House has never held a vote on it. Blah, 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 and it goes on and on. Finally, a Biden administration health official suggested this week that the emergency, which is set to expire in January 2023, would be extended. Great for the psychopaths doing exactly what they keep doing, is creating more legislation, not for the people's benefit, but for the pockets of Big Pharma and all the other warmongers in Washington, D.C. They're going to extend the emergency even further so Big Pharma can make more money off more drugs. And the administration has said it would give 60 days of notice before the emergency ends, and November 11th deadline came and went without a notice. More lies, more lies. Sarah Lovin, a spokesman for the Department of Health and Human Services, said in a statement that the emergency, quote, remains in effect, and as HHS committed to earlier, we will provide a 60-day notice to states before any possible termination or expiration. End of reality news item. Yeah, so let us get back to our reality. Our reality to take charge of our own health. Because these people are absolutely out of their effing minds, in my opinion, that they are so out of touch with the human sacred vessel and its ability to take charge of this body, balance all the nutrients, microbiome. So we've got to go to a commercial break. Those are the two most important adverse advertisings that we should be paying attention to that go against our health. Alcohol use, promoting it freely, that's killing our children, and the government promoting safe and effective, for chemical injections that have killed many, many people and are still harming many, many people. We're going to have our little antennas up for the rest of the year and going forward for this false ad. They ought to be put in jail for false advertisement. Alcohol use goes along with all the cigarette advertising in years before that caused people to have lung cancer, all kinds of emphysema, all kinds of addictions, because that's what it really comes down to with alcohol, is that we become addicted to this fermented substance that relieves pain, that changes our mood and causes more suffering and actually poisons our liver. So we're going to go to a break. I hope this has been helpful for you to make better choices and to share with our youth that no, it's not okay to be drinking every day or every weekend. It's okay to maybe have a celebration once in a while and have a toast or a glass of wine, but we have gone overboard on this alcohol consumption, and the fact that liquor stores keep popping up in the neighborhood is a sign that they're making too much money on this fermented beverage that goes back thousands of years. Now, we've gone from 2 to 3% alcohol in beer to almost 90% in vodka. Oh, my goodness. Let's just take some morphine and get and make and be over with this life. They got all the alcohol in the world to help you poison your body and get and just exit out of the body. Leave, forget the morphine. Just bring on the alcohol and the vodka. All right, so that's my rant for the first hour. And when we come back, we're going to talk about boosting our mental, physical, and spiritual health, because that's the weapon against all this false advertising that we are being bombarded with that's causing our youth to die in higher numbers lately. So we're going to play a little few commercials, and we'll be back with more information, more knowledge to keep us from perishing these days.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. If you have a comment or a question, press 1 in the studio. And on I'm on Facebook Live, Facebook Vieta or Vieta, V-I-E-T-T-A. You can see me live and make your comments there. It's cheaper sometimes to go to Facebook Live because phone companies like T-Mobile charge you to call in sometimes. So that's why I'm still doing Facebook Live. I'm looking for an alternative. Facebook has some weird things going on. But for now, I'm still doing live Facebook shows so we can do our joint rolling and you can comment there as an alternative. Interesting in the news to talk about advertising, adverse advertising, how it affects our health if we're not careful. This little item about FTX coin laundering, money laundering going on is a scam that people ought to be just really interested to know how the hell this happened. I mean, they're suing celebrities like Tom Brady and Shaq, and there's a lot of professional people involved in this scam that went on by one of the most professional alternative money persons. And so I just want everybody to be more thoughtful, more aware of why these things are happening. So there's evidently $50 million was spent on electing Democrats. So there's a clue for you who is behind part of this scam. And I mentioned that to say it goes along with recognizing adverse advertisement. All these professionals were advertising this FTX company and promoting it and pushing it. And now, boom, gone. People lost money, bankrupt, all that. And it's kind of like the same false advertising we've been getting, safe and effective. Everything is safe and effective from the government, right? So what is the solution is we need to boost our own immune system. We have this powerful, powerful system that's part of the other systems in our body. And in case you're new to this show, I play this audio now and then about our systems. But most important, our gut microbiome, that's our army. And when we talk about fermentation of grains, which is basically your alcohol, there's the fermentation of just food that will give you all that you need to give your body a high on this life and give you energy. And that's the gut microbiome. So that, in my experience, is the number one focus and what we should be looking at as far as advertisement. What type of fermented products can you consume so that your gut microbiome, which is your army of defense, can work for you? And you don't have to spend a whole lot of money buying alcohol and all these other feel-good foods and items. If your gut microbiome is healthy, you're going to feel good all the time. So here's a little reminder about our gut microbiome, which is believed to be one of the most important organs in our body.
Our bodies are home to over 100 trillion microorganisms. These microorganisms are found everywhere and make up microbiomes. Over the course of evolution, microbes have evolved with us and have an important role in the human body. Without our microbiome, we wouldn't be able to survive. Microorganisms live all over the body, but have the highest density and diversity within the gastrointestinal tract. The gut microbiome is vital for digestion and helps us break down complex carbohydrates, such as starch from potatoes and cereals, and fiber from fruits and vegetables. The microbiome also helps provide vitamins and minerals needed to survive. As well as aiding in digestion, the gut microbiome is thought to play an important role in protecting against disease. Stomachs with a healthy microbiome are thought to be so diverse that when pathogenic bacteria are present, such as Helicobacter pylori, which causes stomach ulcers, they aren't able to thrive and cause disease. Studies have also linked a diverse microbiome to improved heart and brain health, weight control, reduced blood sugar levels, and a lower risk of diabetes. An imbalance of microorganisms in the gut is known as microbial dysbiosis. A gut with reduced microbial diversity may make it more susceptible to infection. The microbiome has also been linked to the nervous system and mental health. an inefficient digestive system has been associated with an over- or understimulation of nerves carrying information from the stomach to the brain, and could be linked to a range of conditions, including depression and anxiety. It is thought that the microbiome is essential to your well-being, and there are ways to promote a diverse gut microbiota. Eating a varied diet, not using unnecessary antibiotics, and spending more time outdoors are a few ways to promote and maintain a healthy gut.
So your biggest defense against viruses, bacteria, microbes, fungus even, is your gut, your microbiome community, your army. Here's the reality that a lot of people don't understand, and I've been studying this for over 30 years. I realize how far back I start getting interested in this type of thing. It's been over 30 years, actually, and I'm just way more excited about all the information that we have access to that not only confirms the truth about our microbiome, but that brings out new information, like people using the feces of people in South America to treat other people's diseases. That's how powerful the feces and the gut is, carrying all of those beneficial bacteria. I had a discussion with a millennial the other day. They were so insisting that the grandchildren, wash your hands, go wash your hands, make sure you wash your hands, we don't want any bacteria, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, it's not that really that important. I mean, yeah, let's wash our hands, reduce the number, but guess what? There's going to be more bacteria flying around and landing on your skin. You go outside, it's everywhere. It's part of our ecosystem. So when we focus on this, got to have antibacterial soap, we're destroying our microbiome ecosystem. Yes, children should, when they come out from playing, they should wash their hands. But here's another reality if you study it. Putting your hands in the dirt gives you builds up your microbiome system. You get all this, microbes, bacteria, fungus, all that on your skin, and guess what? Your body learns how to deal with it. If you're in this pristine environment using antibacterial soap, washing your hands every 15 minutes, guess what? You're ruining it. You're ruining your microbiome system because it works off of a mental vagus nerve energy Wi-Fi system that says, I'm going to communicate from my brain what my body is telling me I need. I cut my skin. The brain immediately recognizes your skin is there's an open wound. Your vagus nerve, in fact, let me play a vagus nerve stimulation information, because your vagus nerve is always working. This trunk of a tree inside from your brain stem, your vagus nerve is always working, communicating. There's a brain-gut connection because of the vagus nerve from the brain stem. When we were in the womb, this 9-month construction is so sophisticated of putting together the Wi-Fi biological system from the brain stem all the way down the vagus nerve to any part of the body, the cut that I just made on my arm. The brain says, we need backup at the cut. Let's send some microbes, let's send bacteria, let's send bloodstream, everything. Let's go to heal that, stop that bleeding. Now, if you have an unhealthy system, that's not going to work. That program is not going to work. That hard drive system is broken because your system is unhealthy. With guess what? Too much alcohol. If you got too much alcohol, and I'm talking about the 16%, 90% vodka, if you're putting that in your body frequently, it's going to throw off the whole system that is there to help us heal. So here's a little reminder about what the vagus nerve stimulation does for the body, which I promote in the morning with our joint rolling, is taking the time to place your hands on the back of your neck and stimulate that, because it helps the body repair and do all the other
stimulation
things.
Of my favorite nerve has been shown to reduce inflammation. Viva Las Vegas. I'm going to explain what the heck that was in just a second. I'm a terrible singer. I'm sorry for that. But you should join us weekly, because we're putting out content. Like, I'm going to share with you in a little bit. You can tell I'm excited. It is my favorite nerve. But this is the place to get real health solutions. Things like I'm about to teach you will help equip you to get real health solutions. And you can subscribe to our channel right now, YouTube's fastest growing place, to help you get real health solutions. So hit the subscribe, turn on the notifications. You'll be the first to hear my singing. Nah, just kidding. To get these solutions. And if I go live, you'll be able to ask questions so I can help you on your journey to experience real health. Now, what was all the singing about? Las Vegas. All right. The Las Vegas vagus nerve. It's V-A-G-U-S. It's my favorite nerve. Is that nerdy? Because I have a favorite nerve. The vagus nerve. Stimulating that nerve is something you got to get doing. In fact, drug companies are spending billions trying to figure out stimulators that cost tens of thousands of dollars to stimulate this nerve. But I'm going to show you today how you can do it with three simple techniques in a matter of minutes, and it has a significant impact on inflammation inside your body. That's going to impact your heart. That's going to impact your cancer. That's going to impact everything, by the way. So the vagus nerve, it's the great wandering nerve. Comes right out of the top of your neck here. The reason I love this thing is because it controls all of your vital organs. This thing comes right out, goes right down through your neck, wanders through your body, and controls the tone of your heart, lungs, digestive system, and more. It's incredible. Now you can see why it's my favorite. Vagus nerve, V-A-G-U-S, not Las Vegas. All right, so the higher, what research has shown with this, why it's so important, is that higher vagal tone index is linked to physical and physiological well-being, meaning when this thing is humming along the way it's supposed to, you are healthy. But a low vagal tone, when this thing is understimulated, this nerve right here is understimulated, it's associated with inflammation, depression, negative moods, someone needs their vagus nerve stimulated in your household, right? Loneliness, heart attacks, and stroke. Crazy stuff. So, improving the vagal tone, that's the focus of this video. I'm going to show you how to do it. So, the great wandering nerve is what it is. It's the nerve that's the primary component of the parasympathetic nervous system. Now, this system is your healing, your relaxation system. You know, the thing we don't get enough of. What you do get a lot of is the sympathetic nervous system. That's the opposite of what we want. And that system is your fight or flight stress response system. So the stress we're under, the worry we're under, the anxiety we're under, the deadlines we're under, the concerns that we have in our head, that's stressing. We don't breathe properly, we get very tense, and our organs suffer for it. So how you can down-regulate the stress response and up-regulate the parasympathetic relaxation healing response is the vagal tone. So we want to increase the vagal tone, we want to stimulate that nerve, and that's exactly what will do it inside of our organs. Your heart loves this, your lungs love this, your digestive system loves this, inflammation hates it. So if you want to lower those things and increase your organ power, this is what you got to do. So there's nothing more powerful to increase the healthy vagal response in your body than breathing. When you take a breath in, you slightly increase your sympathetic nervous system, but the exhale, breath out, stimulates the vagal tone, increases the parasympathetic, breaks healing relaxation system. So when you breathe in simply and breathe a long breath out, that's what's going to start stimulating this. Companies are spending billions of dollars to figure out how to do it, and all you have to do in order to stimulate yours is breathe more. So that's technique number one. It's going to help lower anxiety, lower blood pressure, slow down your heart rate. By taking in, I advise two different methods. One, paced breathing, 5 second deep breaths in, 5 second deep breaths out in a rhythmic pattern for 1 minute straight. Do that 3 times a day, your body will love it. The other is box breathing, where you'll take a 3 to 4 second breath in, hold it for 3 to 4 seconds, decrease and exhale for 3 to 4 seconds. You see there, I created the shape of a box. All right, hope you're following. So box breathing, 3 to 4 seconds in, 3 to 4 seconds hold, 3 to 4 seconds out. Do that for a minute, 3 times a day. Either one of those methods, whatever you prefer, is going to stimulate your vagal tone, your parasympathetic nervous system, allow your body to heal, decrease the stress, decrease the inflammation. Super powerful. So breathing is number one. Number two is actually chiropractic care, because the top part of the neck, the bones shift, and it can put pressure, shows the research, on the vagus nerve. This is how the studies out of Chicago University show that if this is out of alignment, you can actually increase the blood pressure of the heart. And when you move this back to where it's supposed to be, get it properly analyzed from a proper x-ray, taking pressure off can actually lower your blood pressure better than two blood pressure medications combined. Interesting stuff. Another way to stimulate your vagal tone. And then number three is meditation and sleep. When you put your body in a calming state, getting good rest or focusing your brain on the good stuff, gratitude and prayer and just meditating on the good stuff of your life, this calms down your system, activates the parasympathetic nervous system by improving vagal tone. Breathe more, check out the top part of your neurology through a chiropractor, or get better rest and focus on the good stuff. Inflammation will hate it. Your heart, digestive system, and lungs will love it, let alone it's going to decrease your stress levels. Try it. You won't be disappointed. Let me know how it goes, and let me know what else I can produce for you to help you.
So it's just the simple things like breathing, learning how to do deep breathing that can make a big difference in relaxing your body even more than alcohol, or especially boosting our immune system without a jab of chemicals. Let's just do some I am affirmations together to remind us of how simple are the practices we can use to keep our bodies strong and healthy. Because the I am affirmations to me, and hopefully to you, are a reminder of words, how powerful words are to heal our body, to help our body be energized, to feel better. Lots of people walking around saying, I am stupid, I am sick, I am tired. I am tired is a good one. You keep saying that, remember, your brain is picking up messages from this mouth, from your words. If you say I'm tired, that's what the brain's going to give you. Tired cells, tired immune system. If you're saying the powerful I ams all the day, no matter how you feel, the way to shift the feeling of tired or sick is to keep the energy of your words at a higher vibration. So here's just a few I am affirmations that we can practice to keep the body at a higher vibration, a higher energy level, and a healing level.
I am is your genuine self, your authentic consciousness. That which you attach to I am with repetition, with consistency, and with deep belief is what you are and what you become. I am abundance. I am beauty. I am strength. I am happiness. I am gratitude. I am strong. I am wise. I am wonderful. I am persistent. I am positive. I am successful. I am determined. I am motivated. I am confident. I am thoughtful. I am considerate. I am compassionate. I am integrity. I am intelligence. I am truth. I am wealth. I am health. I am plenty. I am good. I am mind. I am joy. I am one. I am perfect. I am peace. I am whole. I am grateful. I am secure. I am free. I am consciousness. I am awareness. I am mind. I am insight. I am revelation. I am illumination. I am enlightenment. I am heaven. I am unlimited. I am harmony. I am prosperous. I am success. I am magnetic. I am gifted. I am vitality. I am calm. I am relaxed. I am pure. I am noble. I am awake. I am allowing. I am creative. I am blessed. I am worthy. I am blissful. I am beautiful. I am gorgeous. I am grace. I am focus. I am kindness. I am imagination. I am inspired. I am vibration. I am divinity. I am light. I am the life. I am the way. I am divine. I am source. I am you. I am me. I am who I am. I am who I'm becoming. I am who I will be. I am perfect. I am perfection. I am that I am. I am that I am.
other important element of that affirmations is the music. I don't know about you, but just listening to the I Ams with that music, my energy level went sky high. I'm like ready to get up and dance no matter how, whatever aches and pains you might have. When you hear those type of affirmations and music, it can take you to a whole new level of healing and energy, life, love for yourself. So we're going to take a last break. If you have any questions or comments, now's the time. Don't wait till the last minute, please. Share your energy challenges, your health challenges. Are you listening to all these adverse advertisements and finding yourself confused, low energy? What is the state of your health today? Share with us, and we can together bring the truth to our journey that you may not be listening to, especially if you've got the television on. That's the worst place to spend any time these days, is in front of a television. So we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio Hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these voices of enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Together, we can accomplish anything. Unity, unity, unity. All the news of confusion and promotion about basketball and music is bringing us together, I think, because we're learning a lot about the topics that are being discussed. So I'm excited to share my experience with you all the time. I spent, for those of you who weren't with me on Sunday Soul Purpose Healing, I spent 3 days in a women's retreat last weekend, starting Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that just transformed these 12 women who came together to heal and to be uplifted. And we talked about a topic that some people are uncomfortable about, and that's the P-U-S-S-Y, the pussycat. In fact, pussycat is the word that ain't in historical terms. That's where the word started, with a cat. So when I looked at my notes from this beautiful, awesome experience I had, in terms of women and men understanding the female body, the word vagina is a sheath for the sword. That word is a word, vagina meaning an internal part of the woman, that we have really not understood and that has been vulgarized in many ways. But when you look at the word vagina, it actually means a sheath for the sword. Now, guess what the sword is? And then the word P-U-S-S-Y, pussy, comes from, quote, she's a puss or a cat. Beautiful feline features, cunt in Hindu, cunt, all parts. So the word P-U-S-S-Y, pussy, means all the parts of a woman, inside and out, as womb awakened. When the womb is awakened, there's limitless power, original creation, the universe portal to healing and tapping into the genius inside, or another word for yoni, the word pussy is yoni. So coming into this knowledge helps women to feel better about themselves. It helps women to heal. And when we share this with men, we can help them to heal. Because the first, the words that came out of some my son's mouth when I was sharing it with my granddaughter about the pussy and showing her the hibiscus flower, the beauty of the pussy is in the hibiscus fruit that has this beautiful opening leaves that you can peek in and see the vagina in the hibiscus fruit. And the first thing my son, don't talk about that at school, because that I don't want to hear you talking about something vulgar. Men have looked at the pussy as something vulgar. And I want to just put that out there to transform your thinking. Women as well as men, we need to be re-educated about the power within our reproductive first and second chakra, the red element. The sacral chakra is the color red. And I began to be more aware of wearing red to bring about healing, to bring about power feeling in that area of my body. And men, we love you, but you need to have more respect and not be using the word vulgar when talking about the pussy, the yoni, or the vagina, because that is what brought 12 women together at this retreat. They felt oppressed. They felt belittled. They felt unimportant because of words like vulgar that have been used to describe the precious part, first and second chakra, that brings forth all life on this earth. All of us come through that vagina, pussy canal. And I just want to ask all of you to be more conscious when we speak about that sacral chakra and describe the power in the pussy. The power in the vagina, the power in the yoni. That's part, the adverse advertising of the female genital parts has brought a lot of women pain and low self-esteem. That's what I discovered for 3 days. The women, 12 of us gathering together, some feeling really low in their self-esteem. They've had bad relationships. And then all the advertising about the vulgarity of the pussy and the vulgarity of this part of the sacred woman has brought a lot of pain and suffering. So I'm going to be reminding my audience about the beauty and the power in the woman's first, second chakra that brings forth life, not shame, not degrading, and certainly not vulgar. You've been watching too much pornography if you want to call that part of the woman's body vulgar. So let us rise above the advertisement of the woman being a sex object, whether it's her boobs, her clitoris, or her cleavage. Let us rise above the advertisement that has put women in this vulgar box, because the women who came together last weekend, we were transformed, speaking about the pussy, learning about it, and feeling a new empowerment of who we really are, these amazing life-producing beings that carry 9 months energy of love, love, love construction that we all need to be more respectful about. I've got someone with their hand up. If you have a comment or question, feel free. Feel free to talk. I won't shame you or put you down. We want to discuss the topics today, especially adverse advertising that have affected our sovereignty and our power as female male beings trying to heal and navigate this very challenging journey sometimes. And we don't have to navigate it based on the advertising of alcohol. We don't have to keep navigating it based on the advertising. You need another booster. No, you need to boost your self-esteem. You need to boost your vagus nerve. And most important, boost your microbiome community with foods that will bring more life to your body, more health. I'm going to open up the mic for 312-671. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Hallelujah. Way on Yah Shalom. As-salamu alaykum. Grand rising to you, beloved. I want to partner with you. And I'm not talking personal either about no sex. I'm just talking about the opportunity of protecting the black woman. And I got a card in my hand that says 10,000 fearless men vowed to protect the black woman. And I want the world to know that it is the black woman's time. And the black man, this is Minister Plump, excuse me, Chicago, Illinois, Robert Floyd Plump. And it is time that the world respect the vagina. And I love you for bringing this knowledge. See, let me say it like this too. Unity in the community today. Black in black love today. Information is a key to success. And black women is the best of the best. And I'm so glad that I was born a black man. And I just want to invite a partner with you and invite the people in the Chicago area or wherever they may be in Chicago, America, and the world. We are one world, one family, one universe, and one university. In God's will only. It's not my will. This is the message to the people from Brother Minister Robert Floyd Plump. And we're going to be celebrating. Today is my Earth Day birthday, Dr. V. Oh, yes. And we're going to be celebrating at Lake Grove Village. Now, it takes, everybody know, it takes, that's the African proverb, it takes a village to raise one child. And nobody can raise a kid. The kid is always the wrong or the rebellious beast against God and the righteous children and people of God, which is us. We are the true Israelite, natural, authentic people, and so is Yahshua, who most know is Jesus Christ. And he is, keeping it real, a black man. However, we're going to be at 3515. That's the Lake Grove Village today from 1 o'clock to 7 o'clock celebrating the truth. And the truth is I am that I am 77 years young today. I'm so happy. I don't know what to do except stay happy, be happy. And I'm like Tamron Hall. I'm like two. I won't quit. I'm too legit to quit. I won't quit and I won't stop. And it's no spot that God is not. And for more information, brothers and sisters, can go to the Hal Washington Foundation.info about my Earth Day birthday today, and they are welcome to come and celebrate. We're trying to get food and we're going to have music and history on all of our brothers and sisters, and especially Black history and culture and heritage, with some Black power to it too, and without the violence, without the guns. You know, Jesus Christ didn't use no weapons. And he told Peter to put your weapon up. So the teachers of the unobliged Muhammad, he said, we don't need no guns. All we need is unity in the community. So that's what
right.
we're going to
so
be on today and continuing the Million Man March. So brothers and sisters can also call me at 312-671-2773. And if they're going to enter the building, they must call me at that number to get in.
Okay,
we're either going to have our security.
Let me give an applause for Minister Trump reaching 77 years around the sun.
Thank you. God bless you. And we love you. The female solution is number one.
Since you're the first caller and you happen to be, I'm putting you on the spot, Minister Trump, because my topic, adverse advertising, these men in my life and around, when they hear the word pussy, they go into this vulgar mind of, oh my goodness, don't talk about that. What's your thoughts when you hear that word and how we can transform the minds of men and women?
Thank you again, beloved. You have just educated us. See, education is the best. Information is a part of success breeds success, and education is the best. You just educated the whole world. See, and that was one of my reasons for being and uplifting the Black woman. And as we uplift her and protect her as a part of the Million Man March and et cetera, then light is knowledge. Knowledge is power, and you can't see nothing in darkness. So the vagina gives us what? Light and life. And the mother is the first teacher. So we got to get back to what we call the roots, the vision. You broke us down to the vision today. You broke us down to the roots, and that equals to healing. Healing equals to 23, and that's what the female solution is to me, is the world's greatest radio, blog radio, TV station in the nation. And just keep up the good work. I'm so happy that you done made the education, made the class today. And I was the first student in the class. So I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, and I'm wise. I'm a wise man. Ain't no anything.
Here's my perspective on Black women in particular. I see so many Black women trying to live up to the advertisement of the pussy and the long hair and the nails and the eyelashes and the high heels. And see, that goes along with our advertising misunderstanding that somehow women need longer hair, longer eyelashes, more nails, and more high heels and tight clothing. So I want you, Minister Plump, to educate these Black women out there on what they really need is to buy some land, okay? Let's get the hands dirty and start planting food and buy land. That's what challenges and disturbs
me
more than anything about Black women, is that they're putting their money, obviously investing in, and I can see these people aren't rich, they're investing
the wrong
their money in hair, nails, and eyelashes, and high heels and tight clothing versus land.
Yes, you are absolutely right, Dr. V. You are absolutely right. See, and we are going to be featuring the red, black, and green. The red is the blood. You mentioned the blood today. Nothing can, and nobody can separate the blood. And the black is the people, and the green is the land. In respect to the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey, you know, in other words, Mayor Hal Lee Washington said we must plump the whole community. And if you got it, you got it. So we're plumping it up in peace, love, unity, marketing people. And we're going to be marketing intelligence. You have gave us the greatest intelligence for a lifetime on this program about the women. All of them got a vagina. It's a beautiful word, you know, to me. It's because my mother put, as far as I'm concerned, even before I come out of the vagina, my mother put the God in me. Flora Mae Cole Plump, I got to give a shout out to her because she's the world's greatest mother and only mother. And my beloved grandmother, Mrs. Alice Martin Plump, is the greatest in my life when it comes to women. And my grandmother, Mrs. Oma Lee Cole Vester. And the Cole is kin to the Nat King Cole side.
Thank you. We got to get to the next caller. Thank you. You're avoiding that word, pussy, though, but that's okay. Vagina.
Pussy is beautiful. Beautiful and vagina. Both of them is beautiful to me because that's where I come from.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And the important thing about those words, brothers and sisters, is that they mirror nature. And that's my point in bringing that up, is that for the whole weekend in this retreat, we had a hibiscus fruit in front of us that mirrors the pussy, the yoni, the vagina. And so looking at the hibiscus, we realize the beauty in what we have been given in our bodies. We realize the strength we've been given in our body. And the color red brings out this energy of healing, the energy of the blood being sacred, all those things. Reviewing this reproductive part of a woman helps us, I pray it helps us to appreciate, respect, and honor this part of the woman that has been called vulgar, that has been called all kinds of names. But it's time for women to demand respect for every part of her from head to toe. And we need a lot of false hair to do that, but that's a whole other subject. So let me go to the phones for 773-450. Your mic is open. Welcome.
Green Horizon, y'all morning to everybody. That's a great show. You know, I didn't even think about that. It's a mischaracterization of the value of a woman in the first place. But one of the things I was thinking about with marketing, if you notice, they always use marketing advertising for liquor. They always have some so-called beautiful woman standing around. Some man like, you know, hey, we're having this great life drinking this tequila or whatever. I mean, just the image of it. And it's all backwards. In traditional society, it's so male-dominated. And it was, if you go back to the Bible where they talk about, well, Eve was the one that messed up everything. And they create that whole cycle of women being sort of like second class. But one thing that's interesting to me is that whereas society always tries to act like femininity is some sort of beauty thing or something with extra long hair and nails and all the stuff that women think beauty may be, but there's an inner being within a woman that has such power. It's overlooked most often because of tradition. So instead of looking at a woman just as some sort of sex object, just think of her mind. Think of the animal kingdom. The female is so strong until they birth those cubs or whatever, and then they go hunt and take care of them. Where's the male? He's not around. So women even do that. Human beings do that. If men make babies with women and they disappear, the women still take care of the boys or the girls themselves. So it's about time there was respect paid and it's proper due. And I think that if we do it the proper way, then that balances society. But too much testosterone seems like it creates too many wars. So we need some peace. I sure appreciate your program. Keep pushing out things that enlighten us and take us to the next level.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm glad you brought up testosterone, because hormones are messengers. This is my experience, my lesson, my learning. Hormones are messengers. When you look at even Christ, if you mention Christ to me, Christ is a spirit of truth today. That's all. I don't even look at the color, what color he was, whatever. It's a spirit of truth. The anointing is a spirit of truth. And those people who are antichrist, who have been crying anti-Semitism, the media has been claiming that things are, this information we're getting about Hebrew and Israelites and all that, anti-Semitism, that's the antichrist in my opinion, because the spirit of truth brings out information that can free us, that can help us have joy and peace and feel better about ourselves and healing. The spirit of truth is healing. And we've got the antichrist spirit active today in the media especially. So when you talk about hormones, Brother Obadiah, I see that as a reminder that we need to balance our energies, because testosterone, estrogen, and progesterone are three of the dominant hormones in our body that help us feel better. So if you have too much testosterone going, you're not only not going to feel good, but you're going to have other people are going to be pushed away or turned off by your excess testosterone energy. Because remember, it's a hormone is a messenger. So you got the messenger of testosterone running things instead of a more feminine estrogen progesterone coming forth, not trying to control you, not trying to shape your life, but trying to support you. So let's keep in mind testosterone, estrogen, progesterone are messengers meant to bring balance. And so I want to just do a 1 minute meditation about earth, our body, water, our blood, fire, my spirit, to just remind us of how we are in the business of balancing all of these energies, especially our hormones. And your microbiome community does that for you. If you put in the pickles and the sauerkraut.
Earth my body, water my blood. Hear my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body, water my blood. Hear my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves. I make love to the breeze. I carry fistfuls of bones. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds. But my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here.
And that's the truth we want to keep inhaling and breathing. Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath, fire my spirit. So I pray you take this knowledge and message today and share it with your friends and loved ones, that we need to stop listening to certain advertisements about alcohol and injections in our body and take in the advertisement from the spirit of truth that says we are very powerful in our blood and we can do amazing things when we stay conscious. My eyes are burning. But here, let's go to a thank you ending.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Love you.
Thank you.
Namaste.
And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.
Have a beautiful